Howdy, howdy, folks. Welcome back to Hoot and a Half. I'm Matt King.
And I'm Mike Sheffer.
And on this episode, we have the one, the only, Scotty Sire. You may know Scotty from Vine, YouTube, and his incredible music. And he just put out a song recently and a music video that I'm in called Don't Be Sad. So be sure to check it out and enjoy this conversation with the coolest dude I know, Scotty Sire.
Enjoy.
Scotty Sire is in the building.
Yay. Woo, 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 woo. It's like one of the morning radio hosts. Like, what's up, everybody? Today, so we got Scotty Sire.
We got noisemakers. Like,
good morning, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Hoot and a Half with Matt King and his co-host, Mike Sheffer, who I didn't know was going to be here.
Oh, well.
You didn't? Well,
we've only had six episodes for you to listen and catch up on.
I do not listen to podcasts.
I don't listen to like David's either because we live the podcast. Yeah. You know, like we see each other and have our conversations all the time.
Well, hopefully this is a nice surprise for you, Scott, that I'm here and not a disappointment.
It's a nice surprise.
He's a ray of sunshine.
I fucking love life. I fucking love Mike.
I love you too, Scott.
Scott, I just watched the music video. It came out, an hour ago.
Just exactly an hour ago.
The
now.
Don't Be Sad music video.
And the song is fantastic.
Thank you so much.
Might be your best one yet.
I think it is his best one. And I was like telling you, like when we were on set for the video, I'm like, this is going to be amazing when you perform it live. And you're like, if I ever get to perform it live. But it's amped. It's so full of energy. The video was so fun to shoot. I love the lyrics. You know, when Ilya and I, we were in the kitchen
rehearsing
trying to memorize it. There's a tough part in the chorus because it's like, because I was crying on the bedroom floor, they told me.
We kept wanting to say,
lying on the bathroom floor, crying in the bathroom floor.
It does kind of make you want to say bathroom, but it's bedroom. I was crying on the bedroom floor. They told me don't be sad anymore.
I watched the music video.
A little acapella Scotty Sire performance right now.
I was watching the music video though, and there is one clip of me in the background during the chorus, and I say lying. Like my mouth
I didn't notice, so I don't think anyone else will notice. Now they will. Go back and watch the music video. Try and see if you can spot where Matt messes up.
But I do pretty well with the bubble machine because I also did the bubble machine for the kickback video.
Oh, you killed it. You had the Matt King over dramatic expression face down.
I was trying to amp it up. I needed everybody to like be on the same vibe as you, but it was a really fun shoot.
Did you have fun shooting it, Scott?
I had fun shooting it. There was a lot. There was like a scene where we ran through the street. But I wasn't there for that part.
Yeah.
I understand relationship duties.
But Jason still needed a costume. I'm wearing like a big cutout of the planet Earth, and Jason wasn't wearing anything, so he needed a costume.
We swapped it out.
What do the eggs in the carton of milk symbolize?
Nothing. It's literally, I don't know why they put it next to my head, but they got these like blue containers that were just unbranded containers. And it kind of looked like one of those nuclear bomb houses for like when they were testing the bombs before World War II.
Do you still have those or they just brought them in?
They took them back. That was the art department's supplies.
Oh. It was like a full shoot, like production, catering.
It was a full shoot and I paid extra for coronavirus insurance. Like there's like a whole new normal for everything that has to happen now. Like the crew was wearing masks the entire time. And
yeah, we had to wear masks like every break. Like once a shot was done, masks on.
Yep.
Of course, it's like a bunch
shooting
of kids
outside.
That want to take the mask off, and one of the producer guy had to be there the whole time. Like, guys, can you please just put your mask back on?
It was really well done, and they were very conscious, like to make sure that it was up to all the proper like sanitation standards.
Yeah, they literally brought like hand sanitizer stands and set like three of them up around the house for anyone who like if they touch something, then you hand sanitize. Mass on the entire time.
I have another question. I have all these questions about the lyrics too. So your dad says my dad made a joke and a laugh, and he said, "Son, it's your attitude you need to change."
Mm-hmm.
What was the joke?
It's not specific. My dad's just a funny guy. If I've ever called him crying about being an unhappy person, there was a period of time in my life, like 3 or 4 years ago. No, it was like 5 years ago now, 6 years ago. Where I was drinking like crazy, wasn't making that much money. Vine was dying. I went to Vegas and I paid for a table. And then the next night I paid for another table and I was paying for them by myself, just using all my money, drunk, obliterated for the whole weekend. And I like got back from Vegas, like super hungover and depressed that I'd like just spent all my money.
I have nothing to show for it.
Oh no. Was I there?
No, it was it was a while back. I like basically went by myself and met up with a couple friends from my hometown, and I don't know why. I just got like wasted and spent all this money, and I was so disappointed in myself. I ended up quitting drinking for a month after that, and
but you changed your attitude.
I changed my attitude.
Yeah.
But my dad always like, if I call him up with any sort of serious issue, like he like very lighthearted, will make a joke, crack some sort of joke. We laugh about it, and you know,
well, that's great.
It's a good dad, you know.
Yeah. Is this your like dad?
My dad.
Your dad.
I got like 10 dads.
I know, because one time I was show, someone was like, or I was at a show and like I met your dad, and then I also met your stepdad,
and then my mom's newest husband.
Yes. Yeah. Like so there was like these three. I'm like, which one's Scott's dad?
The short one.
Yeah, the short one. Okay. And you grew up in Orange County.
Orange County.
You were born in Newport.
I was born in Hogue Hospital in Newport, but it, I mean that was the nearest hospital in OC, basically. So I was like, I mean, I lived in Huntington Beach my entire life until I moved up here.
Did you like living in Huntington Beach? I think Huntington Beach was like the ultimate place to grow up. Because, I grew up in the suburbs of Dallas, and all we're doing is wearing Hollister, and we just had shirts that said Newport Beach. They even had a live stream.
Of the Hollister Beach. I remember that.
There was Hollister Beach, and then some Hollisters had Huntington Beach, yep. But it was a live stream. And I don't even think it was a live stream. I think it was just a video that was on an hour loop. Because the sunset never changed. But you would just go in there and walk in and just dream about
it. Blew my
living
mind to
there.
Find out that Hollister was also the name of a place. I thought it was just like a brand name, but it's like a beach and a place.
I didn't know that Hollister was a place still until just now.
Yeah, it's a place. It's a beach, I think. I'm pretty sure it's like a beach in California, Hollister Beach.
Abercrombie and Fitch a place?
I know those are two
people. Yeah, it's two people, I'm pretty sure.
I'm gonna look it up right now.
Hollister, California.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's a beach.
But I don't know if it's Southern California or north of here.
Yeah, no
Pacific
one cares.
Coast, California, between Gavotia State Park and Point Conception.
Where is that, Scott? Where is it?
I don't know either of those places.
Oh, it's a ranch. It's like a private beach. It's a Hollister Ranch. It's an active farming and cattle ranch for private housing community located on the west side. Blah blah blah. So there's a place called Hollister
that nobody can go to.
I guess yeah. That's why you got to buy the clothes.
I didn't know it existed, but as far as living in Orange County, like growing up there, I did like growing up there. I lived in a nice area. I was really close to the beach. When I first moved to LA from Orange County, I hated Los Angeles because I lived in like the heart of the city, like in Hollywood. And I don't like being in that busy.
Did you ever see yourself being in LA, but having grown up so close to it?
Like, did you ever thinking, come and visit
oh,
here?
When I'm going to be in my 20s, I want to be living in LA. Like, that would be like if I was living in Dallas and being like, oh, I guess I'd move to Fort Worth.
Or Austin or...
Yeah, but Austin's like 3 hours away.
Did you come and visit LA when you were living in Huntington, or there was never a reason to come down here?
No, not at all. I never had like any desire to drive up to LA and like be in LA. The only reason I did end up moving here was because I started making a career out of Vine and social media, and I was like, everyone else is up here, so I'm going to come up to LA. Whereas a lot of those other kids that were in Orange County on Vine, like they stuck in Orange County, like Brent Rivera, for example.
Yeah.
like a lot of people can do the same thing that we're doing up here down there. And we've talked about that with the group of friends. Like we could all move somewhere other than LA, somewhere that's cheaper and like nicer.
We could have bigger houses. Like it's crazy. $1 million here gets you like less than 1,000 square feet in Texas.
Go to like Utah or Texas. And
I say I vote Texas.
It's just a matter of getting everyone to go somewhere so we can all stay together, keep making videos together.
Yeah.
Well, but
it's tough enough to pick a bar to go to on a Thursday night, let alone move everyone to a new state at the same time in the same neighborhood.
We figured out the bar thing before the coronavirus hit. Everyone was just going to Saddle Ranch.
Well, yeah. We had just, after 5 years, it had just been agreed upon. Tuesday's karaoke night.
Okay, so I got a question about growing up in Huntington. So you were a wrestler, mm-hmm. right? That was your main sport?
Yes.
But you have also said that you were kind of like a shy kid growing up too.
Super shy, yeah.
But you're a total entertainer now. Were you involved in any like theater or any of those, the performing arts at all?
No. I'm like a typical YouTuber. Like every YouTuber, not every YouTuber is like shy, but you hear them all talking about how they're introverted and they're shy because you have to talk to your camera and then you release it out to people. You get to edit it beforehand. It's, you're not like doing a school presentation. I would stand up for a school presentation and fucking shake and like not know what I was going to say.
Yeah.
I have this one story for like a group work assignment we were supposed to do. And it's like, all right, like partner up with people. And like some girl that I kind of had a crush on, like was sitting in front of me and like, was like, do you want to work together on this project? And I was like, oh no, I think I'm going to do it myself.
I read this somewhere and I never knew about this, but when you were in high school, you kind of had this little side gig where you created a website. Mm-hmm. And you sold ads on it. It was like for a Flash website, because
it was in my computer class. I made a website called No Games Allowed because they blocked all the arcade websites, all the big ones. So I made an arcade site in the class, and I started ripping games from other websites and put them on my website and told everyone in the class they could go play games on my website.
What?
Wow, that's brilliant.
How did you figure that out?
My computer teacher actually helped me before he...
Oh, Mr. Hayes?
Mr. Hayes, before he blocked my website. Where did you read this? Did you study me?
I kind of went around like a few articles, just tried like, is there something about Scott that I didn't know? And that one stuck out where I was like, I have not heard this story.
That was like my favorite teacher. You know how David has his favorite teacher that he used to like mess around with and stuff? That was my favorite teacher. We used to mess around with him all the time. And like, we figured out, one of my friends saw him driving and followed him back to his house. It sounds kind of creepy, but we went, like, we'd go knock on his door and he's like, guys, get the fuck out of my house.
You just wanted to hang out with him after class?
Yeah.
But he was like a cool enough teacher to team up with you on how to backdoor the security system.
It wasn't like he was like seriously trying to like go around the school system or anything like that, but he saw that I took an interest in web design and was helping me with that for this project, because it was like my own little side project in class that I was doing well with. So it was like,
wow. One supportive. It was really hard to play games at our school. You had to go to like certain websites that were like this fish link kind of thing where you could put in the URL and it would take you to a domain within a domain.
Yes.
But one kid, and I, to this day, I want to like message my entire high school. Someone installed this video game called Unreal Tournament.
Unreal.
Oh, that's
engine.
Like a whole ass
that's
game.
That's a whole system of video games.
Well, it was a tournament where it was like this shooter game. It was like almost like Halo. And they installed it on every single computer in the entire school. And it was like no teacher or tech engineer guy could remove it. So kids would just go and play this amazing game like Halo.
In the middle
and it
of
would
class.
Drive teachers nuts. I think the person had to manually go to every single computer and uninstall it. But I want to figure out who it was.
You know how like computers in high school were set up to where like if you download something into the computer and once it restarts, everything goes away.
Yeah.
Unless you save it into your special like shared drive for that specific student.
Yes.
They must have done something where they added that game into the like factory system.
Yep.
So that whenever the computer restarted, that game was still there.
Yes.
Look at Scotty Steyer still remembering all the ins and outs of the computer programming world.
Dude, I was a nerd. And that's the other thing is like I was able to like make little memes and shit when I was younger and like try to get people to laugh through like posting like a funny quote or something like that, but I would never be able to do it in person. You know?
So you didn't do like stand-up comedy during the talent show, but like you'll make a meme and send it to your friends through the internet and try and get laughs.
Yeah, because I don't have to worry about being my sense of humor being rejected in person.
Oh.
It's like I get a laugh where I don't online, you know?
And you made a little bit of money though with the ads that you...
Yeah, I started running Google ads on the gaming website, and once I got like a...
Once I know Mike and I, our reactions, I'm like looking, I'm like, can you believe this?
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Once I got like a solid enough like baseline, then my website like, you know, went up on the SEO, like on the search results, and I started making like $25 a day. And when I was 15, $25 a day was awesome.
Oh shit.
Did it spread to other schools and like where other kids would know about it, or was it just contained within your high school?
It spread to like all over the place. It wasn't like schools. It was just like a website that people knew about. And then someone ended up buying it from me. And I sold it.
For how much?
I sold it for $500, which was stupid. Because I was making so much money daily. But it was like dated technology. Because all these websites, you can get like a script and the games will like update automatically. And they have like packages and coding and stuff like that. Mine was like manually placing games there and creating new pages. So it wasn't something that I could upkeep for that long.
Is it still up?
It might be. So
is your name still like on the letterhead?
Yeah,
are they masthead?
The people who bought it, they did that. They put a script on the site and made it like a very generic gaming website. So that's, it's so cool.
Cody Kohu. We got Scotty Sire.
Cody can actually code, though. That's what I'm saying. Like, I had no idea what I was doing, really. It was just like you made the site in Flash, I think.
Yep. Yes.
And then it was just add new page, paste this, embed this game code in it. Yeah. So I was like,
you did it as like iframes, like underneath.
Yeah. And these I was like running the data off of other websites who hosted the games.
Right. Let's get back to the funny stuff.
Okay.
No one gives a shit about all this coding. You ever see Cody Ko talk about how he's a coder? No.
So you're a shy, funny kid making memes, making cool websites.
Who wrestles and has a huge stud.
Huge stud. I mean, you have the foundation.
You're ripped.
Like,
oh, thanks.
I can aspire to have Scott's bod, but like, I just feel like all of his days and days of doing wrestling and stuff.
We had Casey on. His question was, how does Scott have that bod?
And I said wrestling, but
was that the foundation?
It was wrestling. It's from just working out every day. I mean, you've been working out a lot. Your shoulders are a lot bigger.
Yes, but I sprained my wrist.
Is it actually sprained?
Yes, it is. It's like completely bruised, but I can tilt it.
Hmm.
It would be if it was broken, I wouldn't be able to tilt it. Right.
Matt King got hit by a bike.
Oh my! Yes, slammed by a bike outside of a
Jimmy John's.
Have you told that story on your podcast?
No, I haven't. And I think Zane and Heath, they like kind of told it from their point of view, but they weren't even there.
Let's hear it. First person.
So, Mike and I were at Jimmy John's getting the Italian nightclub. Mike getting his little veggie sandwich.
Your podcast listeners are really missing out on not having a video, because when you tell stories, you get so animated.
Sneak peek coming soon.
Yes, the video version is coming soon.
We've ordered furniture, cameras.
Yeah. It's coming. You got to come back when we have the video one. But back to my injury, my accident. Leaving the Jimmy John's. Got my subs in hand with a little kicking ranch. I'm in a good mood. Mike's asking me about Liquid IV. And I'm like, oh, Liquid IV, the lemon flavor is the best flavor. Ooh, when I get home, I'm actually going to boom out of nowhere. This guy just like, he's like, watch out. Takes me down to the ground.
It would be like if a bike hit you right now. That's how shocking it was. Like, it made no sense. This guy was going 150,000 miles an hour. We stepped out. I took one step. We hear, oh my God. And the next thing, Matt's just on the floor.
And all the wind is knocked out of me. I look down at my hand. It's bleeding. I can't like breathe. My body's in shock. I can't assess like, is my leg broken? Is my head like smashed in? I don't know. And the guy's just like, breathe, man, breathe, breathe, breathe. And you know, kind of when it happened, the first thing that hit me was like, did I do something wrong? Was this my fault? Did I just walk into oncoming traffic? Like, was I not looking around?
Was that a car or a fucking bicycle?
Yeah. And the dude felt really, really bad. I was being really nice with him. Like, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. But I should have said, why are you speeding this fast down a sidewalk? If you had a kid with you and he hit you,
would not have ended well.
No. And we went to Jimmy John's today because I wanted to revisit this scene.
You got to face your fears, you know? Yeah. Just go back and
get back on the horse. Yeah. Ride that train again.
If you folks listening know where the Jimmy John's is in North Hollywood on Lankershim, the Jimmy John's is kind of underneath. There's
columns in between the awning and the sidewalk. You have a blind spot like when you walk onto the sidewalk where you can't see until you step onto the sidewalk.
The moment you step on the sidewalk, then someone can hit you at any moment. And so today I told the employees of Jimmy John's, do you guys realize how hazardous it is out here?
He's just like, man, I just make sandwiches, dude. I don't know about the structural architecture of this
place. Jesus Christ, man. Hey, but the moral of the story is if you're going to Jimmy John's in North Hollywood, watch the fuck out, because there's some crazy people out there.
I told Mike after. I'm still steamed up about it, and I don't want to come off like I'm this super, I don't know, neighborhood citizen guy who points out everything wrong, but I do want to post on the Nextdoor app and let that community know how dangerous the blind spot is out in front of that Jimmy John's.
That whole street, yeah.
You know,
but the sandwich was okay.
But the kick and ranch exploded in the back.
Motherfucker. You know what's crazy about like stories like this? The cyclist, right? He's speeding down the sidewalk. He hits someone. Luckily, it wasn't a kid. The kid didn't die. He hit some guy. Guy's all right. But now he's probably going to be a lot more careful when he rides his bike. And I think about that every time I do something wrong, or I do something I didn't think was wrong, and like it ends up like maybe hurting someone, or I like have like a near experience where someone could have gotten hurt. I'm like, shit, I'm never going to do that again. And like it's like built up my worry meter for my entire life. Like now I worry about things a lot more because I've experienced so many things where I'm like, well, I don't want to do that because
you've been injured a handful of times. Or was it just once with your ankle at
David's house.
I get hurt in like weird ways all the time, but I don't know. I don't know exactly why. I just don't really take care of myself. I'm like impulsively do like a flip when I shouldn't.
Yeah, I don't like to rough house. Scott likes, or Todd likes to rough house. And
yeah, we wrestle every time we get drunk.
Jeff?
Yeah, Jeff likes to rough house. Jeff one time body slammed me at your house in the back. I don't know if you remember, we were watching the fight. And
oh, I do remember
Jeff
that.
Jeff like was like, watch this, like whatever. And he comes and grabs me from behind. And then we got into a little tussle and he just literally picked me up and body slammed me onto the edge of the couch and my back hit the wood and like I seized up and I was like, okay, no more roughhousing, Jeff.
A little bit of roughhousing is always good for growing boys. But yeah. Unfortunately, we're all in our late 20s.
Yeah.
And we don't feel as old as we are, I don't think, because of the lifestyle we live.
And injuries will last a lot longer than you think. Like when you're a little kid, you'll skateboard down like a, you know, a 10 set staircase, fall on your face, get right back up and try it again. But now like one fall, it could be like a week, you're out of commission. But
right.
Exactly.
So yeah. I kind of want to backtrack just a little bit to your high school days. And you said that you weren't really into the performing arts, but Scott, how can you sing so well? Like you do it so effortlessly and you weren't in choir?
Actually, I try really hard. I always think about that Juno quote. He's like, she's like, you look so cool without even trying. He's like, I'm trying really hard. no, I wasn't in choir or anything like that. My dad used to like sing a lot around the house and we'd always just like change lyrics to songs and like say what we're saying to someone, but like sing it like, Matt King's a bitch or like something like we'd like
hey, what'd you say?
We just like sing it. And even on Vine, I would like change lyrics to songs like, baby, lock them doors and turn them lights down low. Now turn them back on, girl. Don't be a hoe. Like I like,
it's so resonant.
It sounds like I'm in a studio.
Yes.
You got a really nice vocal quality to your singing voice.
Wow. Thanks. I appreciate that. I listen back to my vocals before they get tuned up because everything is tuned to be like perfect now. And I'm like, what the fuck was that? Can I actually sing or not?
You can.
Like people tell me I can sing, but when I hear myself sing, I'm like, that sucks ass.
No, it's, I mean, you always are more judgmental on yourself than other people are. But so you and your dad used to make up songs as you would sing. And so you just like grew up kind of singing around the house.
Yeah. But it was always like goofing off for fun. Like I never, like back to the LA question, like did I think I was ever going to move up to LA? I didn't fucking know what I was going to do when I was growing up. Like I always wanted to be entertaining. I'd want to entertain people. Couldn't do it in person. So I loved social media.
Yeah.
It's like, and I always thought when I started Vine too, I was like, this could be a catalyst. This could, like, I could build a following and then I could be an actor. And now I'm totally happy being a social media person because I have complete control over everything that I'm putting out. Even being an independent, like, artist, like, I don't have someone telling me what to do. I get to make the songs that I want and put them out.
Hope you're enjoying this episode. We're just going to take a quick break to give a word from our sponsors.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And now back to the episode.
You were making vines after high school and college, or post-college, I guess. We're the same age, kind of, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm 28.
I'm 28.
Yeah.
Just turned.
So when did you start Vine, in college or after?
It was after college.
And when did you meet Todd?
I met Todd in elementary school, but it was like in passing. Like, we knew who each other were, but we didn't like, we weren't friends. And then
I bet y'all were pretty close in like, you know, the yearbook, Smith and Sire.
But he was a grade above me.
Oh,
really?
Fun fact, Todd's older than me. Everyone's always thought that I was older because I've always had the scruff and I'm whiter than him, so I age more poorly.
And so you would see him in passing in elementary school, then middle school you started hanging out?
Nope.
Or high school?
High school. It was in high school, we wrestled together, but we didn't really hang out. We just like, you know, we'd talk every once in a while or in the wrestling room. And then it was after high school that we had like mutual friends and started hanging out and like partying together.
Who was the better wrestler? Were you guys in the same weight class?
Well, when I joined, Todd was a year older than me. So he beat me at first, but then I got bigger than him. Like I like.
You went Super Saiyan.
Uh-huh.
I got bigger, quicker. And now Todd and I weigh about the same and he's taller than me. So it's like, I don't know. It was interesting, but he also was doing football and hockey. And so I think his junior year, he quit wrestling to focus on the other sports because he liked them more. Mm-hmm. And then he kind of came back. And at that point, it was too far gone. I was the star wrestler.
You were the star wrestler of your high school?
Not the star.
But a star?
But I was like the top three.
Were you like top ranked in the district? State? Nationals?
I didn't place in state because I broke my knee my senior year. I shattered my kneecap.
What? But wrestling?
Yeah. It was because you always shoot on the same knee. I always shot on my right knee. And so I started having a lot of pain in my knee, but I refused to go to the doctor because I didn't want to get surgery before the end of my year. So I kept wrestling on it and it would like puff up with water and shit.
Ooh,
or whatever liquid
it was. Drained.
I had to get it drained a couple times and then I had to get surgery and they had to put like weird dissolvable screws that like put the kneecap back together. But I went and I did CIF and I like won and went to Masters and then I went to state, but I didn't place in state. It's like there was rounds. I had to forfeit a round because I just like couldn't do it that round because my knee fucking hurt. So I was like,
were you tatted in high school?
No.
Oh, I was like, can you imagine like seeing a high schooler on the mat, like with Todd's or
I'd be
Scott's
so scared.
Tattoos?
I did get my first tattoo at the end of my senior year after I turned 18. And it was like the biggest fucking tattoo.
The one, the bear.
The bear on my side.
Do you hate talking about tattoos?
No, I don't mind it. I don't think much about my tattoos anymore.
Oh.
Like someone asked me a question about my tattoo recently. Like, oh, what's that for? I was like, I think I got that with Todd because we're both Aries or something like that.
Yeah.
And I completely forgot. Like,
it's just a part of you now. It's not like a...
I always think you have the perfect balance, though, of tattoos. Like one arm's like a near full sleeve. Oh, that's a sleeve.
Yeah, I have a full sleeve, and then I you know, do like PC things on the other arm. Like I don't want to be like tatted, but I'm tatted.
Yeah.
Yes. But nothing... You have a tat on the leg.
I would like to get a couple things on my legs just because it seems like I'm top heavy. Like
balance out the canvas a little bit.
I got to balance it out.
Do a calf sleeve.
Yeah, I want to do the back of the calf, top of the thigh.
Me with no tattoos, but I just love looking at people who do have a lot, being like, I think you need some there. Yeah, fill in that spot over there. And but you hated your first tattoo? Or
I didn't hate my first tattoo. I hated getting it. I had to go to like three different sessions to get it done. And it was like just the biggest tattoo and one of the most painful spots to get a tattoo. It was on my ribs and it's like a foot and a half tall and 6 inches wide. Like it's...
And when you originally went into getting tattoos, were you thinking, oh, just one or two tattoos? Or did you already have the vision of the canvas you've now
painted?
I had
no vision. Everything I do is like super impulsive. It was just like, I want a tattoo, so I'm going to get some tattoos or a tattoo. And then I got that tattoo, and I was like, well, I got to get more tattoos now.
Do you think I should get a tattoo?
Everyone should get tattoos.
What if I had a tattoo, what would the tattoo be of? And where would it be?
The first thing that came to mind was rat because of that joke.
Oh, come on.
But like if you look,
come
Matt,
on.
If you own the joke, then you get made fun of a lot less for it.
But it is funny because in high school one time I was joking about getting a Chuck E. Cheese token and that would have been a rat. I've said that before in my life about getting a Chuck E. Cheese token tattoo, and that's so funny.
Chuck E. Cheese is a rat? I thought it was a mouse.
Either way, it's a rodent, and in a food chain makes their mascot a rodent. That's the one thing you don't want in the kitchen, and they have it.
Ratatouille, though.
Oh, yeah.
I actually was Chucky, though, when I was a kid.
You put the costume on? And
I worked at Chuck E. Cheese's.
Oh. And how was that?
It was a lot of fun. But actually, no, I didn't enjoy it, but I did enjoy it.
Well, what about this pizza conspiracy then? Can you shed some light on that?
Not true. It's a stoned teenager back there putting pizzas in the oven and just cutting them really poorly.
What's the conspiracy?
That
they take old pizza and put it together and reheat it. Because it looks so uneven when they come out.
Yeah, the way the pizzas come out, it looks like they're all leftover slices. And
that's
no
a funny
way,
conspiracy.
No way. And I heard that they filed for bankruptcy. So that's pretty sad.
R.I.P.
But okay, so I'd have a rat tattoo. Thank you.
That's just the first thing that came to mind. It's hard for me to think of what tattoo I'm going to get next.
Have you
one
given
you
tattoo advice to people? Like, do people ask you and have you given advice and like seen a tattoo that you've thought of getting created?
No. I mean, I've like given someone like, I think you should put that tattoo there. Like, and they'd be like,
well, I'm such a dork. I'd want like pieces of art from known artists, like having like a Matisse and like a Degas and a Picasso,
So then when my kids like sit in my lap, they're like, what is this? I'm like, oh, this is a Matisse that they got. And so they know
Dad, you're so fucking boring.
So they know all the classics because of their dad's. I don't know. That's always just stupid, but I thought of that. And now if Mike had a tattoo, what would the tattoo be? Mike's already shaking his head
it would be a quote that said this was a mistake.
Or maybe it's a rat and he's a flea on the rat's back.
We're like a nice like the star.
Hi, I'm Mike.
Or I think you should get the Star of David, but with like David's face in the middle of it. Because like not. Scott has
David's face.
I've always wanted to ask you about the David tattoo. Is it like kind of like purposely bad?
It's amazing. Are you kidding me? It's such a good portrait. It's like a...
It looks like he died.
That's the style I got it in. It's
You got like memorial style.
Yeah, thing. Yeah. It's like it wasn't like a cartoon caricature or anything like that. It's like a...
I don't think it looks bad. It's actually, I think, your best tattoo. But
it's like David's the most face. Detailed tattoo. But when you do a detailed face, like it's always going to look a little different than the person's face.
The teeth are always
does.
A little hard to nail on a tattoo. And like but...
Even when you're drawing someone, you see a lot of people who do like fan art and stuff, and the shading is like the most difficult part because you're adding these extra lines to try and get the perfect curvature, but you're always going to kind of overdo it.
I mean, it was worth it for the bit.
I think so. I was in the vlog for like 3 seconds.
I don't even... you were only in it for 3 seconds, so this was after the too much Scotty phase because they were just like phasing you out.
I was just being completely phased out. Yeah, it was just like, oh my God, Scott, you got a tattoo. And it was like, ha ha ha.
But your TikTok was pretty good. Like, woke up with the strange tattoo.
Oh yeah, that was Joe Volpus' idea.
Whose idea?
Joe Volpus.
Oh, Joe has the best ideas.
He's such a good creative little guy.
He has so many ideas. And you know what I think it is? He doesn't drink and he constantly is thinking about filming and what he can do. No hangovers, clear head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
No, that's
he's got a superpower over us, the rest of us.
He does, him and Jeff.
He has an extra like 2 days out of the week too. Like we wake up Saturday and Sunday just like, ugh. And
him,
he's just...
Yeah. Him, Jeff, and David actually with the no drinking thing.
I've seen David drink though.
Well, he'll like have once, a couple or something. Right?
Like, David will have one drink and he's like, oh, yeah, like, easy, buddy.
It's like, funny, like an eighth grader.
I still
in.
Think of David
he's
as...
like an eighth grade. He's like, he gets very childlike.
Yeah. I think of David still as like my kid brother, even though he's like more successful and like very, you know, like mentally gifted. Like he's like very like creative and shit. But I still think of him as like, that's like my kid brother because he's like still like a kid. Not.
He's only 23. He still is incredibly young. Like when we were 23, we were goofing off. I don't know what you guys were doing, but like, you know, just goofing off, whatever, this, that. He's been like
on top
of the world for the last 3 years. So.
Do you remember when we first met?
Back in the Vine days, and you were complimenting Todd on his Instagram captions.
Yes.
Wow.
And I got offended. Not offended, but I was like, Todd's getting like praised for his Instagram captions.
I went right up to Todd. I go, dude, your captions are like poetry. Like he had this very unconventional sense of writing something. It was like,
did you know Todd at the time?
No.
So you met them both at the same time? Both
I think we were hanging out with Zane and Heath at that beer
Brickyard
pub. Yeah.
Yes, that's when it was, and that was peak Vine days. Like Lele Pons was there, Alley Cat.
Yeah, it was like a big, like all these different Viners were hanging out.
Yes, that was the first time we met. But then the first time I felt like you and I bonded was outside of Busby's East, and you gave me a piggyback ride.
We were drinking.
we were drinking. I didn't need the piggyback ride, but it was offered. Yeah. And I took it, and then I remember like posting you on like my Snapchat, and my cousin was saying, oh my gosh, Scotty's eye.
It's so crazy, like the world that we're in too, like... Like on Vine, we were all separate individuals. Like you had your following, I had my following, Zane and Heath had their following, and like different fans or whatever.
Audiences, yeah.
And so like you could post something with me and they'd be like, oh my God, you know Scotty? And it's like, yeah, we're all Viners. We all know each other. Like
it all just, yeah, we were this big melting pot of all different types of talent coming together. I saw on the Facebook group Vlog Squad stands, someone made a almost like a family tree dynamic of all of our friends. So it's like you and Todd, and then there's like a link in between, like met in high school, started doing Vine with each other. And then there's like Zane and Heath, and then we're linked up with like Carly and Aaron. It's a very bizarre family tree, but someone had like created a whole outline
It's so interesting how much information about us is out there on the internet. And of course there is, because look, we're doing stuff like this podcast where you're asking different questions. I always think about, you know, the security questions.
Yes.
Where were you born?
What street did you
Newport
grow up on?
Newport Beach, Hogue Hospital. I answered that question earlier. They could have one of my security questions.
You actually,
from this podcast.
Where were you born? You don't put the city, you actually put the name of the hospital.
No, but like I'm saying, like I just said, Newport Beach, Hogue Hospital. Like they could try Hogue, they could try Newport, they could try Newport Beach. Like,
oh yeah, they can.
Like all this information that we put out there on the internet is just like
people can figure it out.
Do you want me to bleep that out?
No, I don't want you to bleep that out. I don't use that one. Oh, okay. I realize that I'm giving out answers. What was the name of my first dog?
Oh yeah. Or what was your third grade teacher's name? What's your mother's name?
I don't
name?
Even now I'm freaking out. I don't want to say.
No, yeah, don't
cancel the podcast. We're done. I don't want to give away any more information about myself.
My social security number is no, I'm kidding.
I can't believe you remember the hospital you were born at. Do you know?
You don't know the hospital you were born in?
I have a great memory. When I was a kid, when I left the building, I saw the sign, Hogue.
No, you didn't.
How many brothers do you have?
Four little brothers. One full brother.
What?
One on my dad and stepmom's side, and two on my stepdad and mom's side.
And you're the oldest.
And I'm the oldest, yeah.
Do you like being the oldest?
Yeah.
All of us are the oldest siblings.
David's the oldest sibling.
I think being the oldest, it made me like a caretaker, like personality-wise. Like I like doing things for people, but I don't like when people do things for me. It makes me uncomfortable.
Are you hard on your siblings? Watching out for them? Like you're protective, but you, I want to say, are critical, but you're just like, yo, don't do that.
No, not anymore. I don't like live down there. I don't see them all the time. When I go back, I'm just like, I'm almost more like an uncle that like visits every once in a while than like a brother. Obviously I'm still a brother, but like we don't hang out and do shit together anymore. When I was growing up, it was like they were babies and I was like the older one. So like if mom and dad were gone, you take care of the little brothers sort of thing. And I was like, to my oldest younger brother, I was like a dick, you know, like he had acne. I'd call him nicknames, bad teeth. I'd call him nicknames.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And you know, I found out later on that, you know, I was being a brother, like picking on my little brothers. And I found out later that like that shit affects people.
It is a very weird phenomenon that you don't realize that your younger brothers or siblings see you in a very different way than you see them.
Yeah.
And it's tough. Like you can't even conceive of it. Like, the way that Kevin looks at you or the way that your younger brother looks at you, it's like, it's almost like you are an idealized version of what they could be. And so any piece of critical information that you tell them is like the worst thing in the world, because it means that they'll never be as good as you. And like, it's really like a dynamic you don't think, because we don't think about ourselves in that way, where if someone tells us a piece of information about ourselves that, oh my God, I can't believe they just said that. Like, we just go about our lives and do what we want to do. And
I think that's so important, though. Just having siblings, like I want that for my kids. I want them to have those types of relationships, because I think it is very important, and it's valuable in the long term as you guys grow up together and watch each other grow. And like, in how many kids do you want, Scott?
Probably like two or three.
100.
100.
Not just one. No only children. I don't like only children. I'm just kidding. Totally kidding. But it's like almost even with like an animal, you get like a dog or a cat. You're like, this dog or this cat needs a friend.
Yeah.
You know? Like I can only be there for this thing so much, but they need like someone to grow up with, I think.
Did you live in a very disciplined household? Were you grounded? Phone taken away, computer, or I'm just disappointed? Don't do it again.
What? I didn't have a phone till late in high school. The only time I got in trouble was like when I started drinking when I was 18. I was like, I didn't really do bad things. I was a good kid. I was like, I'm such a nervous, shy, insecure person that like I would think that doing the smallest bad thing would be the end of the world. So like if I did something my dad had told me not to do, then I was scared to death for no reason. Because like my worst punishment really was like he'd be like, stand in the corner for 5 minutes.
Stand in the corner.
Face the wall. Like you don't get to do anything. You're bored.
Oh man. One time when I was a kid, I was doing a little play at the daycare, and I was Rudolph, the red-nosed reindeer, or everyone was Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. And our babysitter, or the woman who like in charge of the daycare, put lipstick on our noses. And then I was acting up, put me in timeout, but she like pushed me into the corner, and then the lipstick on my nose hit the corner. And she goes, "What did you just do?" And I was like, "You have lipstick. You told me to face the corner, and the lipstick went on the corner."
So you talked back.
I did. And then she made me clean it up. And I was crying with a lipstick on my nose and a Rudolph the Ray.
Is there a photo of this?
I bet. Yes, there is a photo from that day. Not the photo of me in the corner. But I remember my mom coming and picking me up from the daycare and me having to explain it that I was acting up. But I'm sorry, I got lipstick in the corner.
He still feels bad about it. He
told me to stand in the corner, and you put lipstick on my goddamn nose, bitch.
It's a very distinct memory, and just standing in corners reminds me of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
that was my punishment. Standing in the corner. Like, I would get scolded back to like the brother thing. I only picked on my closest. He was 2 years apart. Like I saw him as kind of an equal, even though he's smaller than me.
Right.
Not like so much younger than me. The baby brothers, I was always super nice to, took care of.
You can't pick on a toddler.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Especially when you're 15 and they're 4. Yeah. Or whatever it is. We're not that far apart, but.
So now you have fallen in love with making music. What was, you know, still is your YouTube career. You made a few songs. Originally, did you think just for fun, just something to try out, and then it became bigger than what you imagined? Or did you have this goal and vision in mind to put out 2 albums and multiple singles?
There was absolutely no trajectory when I started like making music. The first song was a total joke. It was a sad song. It was like, let's make a fun song. And I think I was the first person in like the vlog squad group that started getting into music, because Andrew Fitz, like, he hit me up to make a song. He was doing a series called Beat Blitz where you make a song in an hour. So we went and we made one as like a joke, and we're like, let's make it an actual song now. And still very goofy, jokey song, but it's fun.
And I'll never forget the first time you performed live. Was it at Playlist or VidCon?
The first time I performed live was, I don't think you were there, but it was at David and Jason's podcast show, and it was their first podcast show, and it had like 400 people there, or 300 people, I don't even know. And I put the music video up on the screen with the lyrics on the screen and lip synced to the song with the words in the song. And, well, I didn't lip sync. I tried to sing it, but I just forgot every single lyric.
I was there.
You were there.
Yes, goodness. I was there.
And Liza was there.
Yes, because I remember like my like heart kind of hurt for you because
so
you did
painful.
Forget the lyrics.
And they were on the screen, but it was just like one of those things where you just couldn't get the grip on it.
It's performance anxiety. It happens during sex, and it also happens on a stage.
But then you performed a VidCon or Playlist. I'm not sure which one. And that one you were really nervous for, and I think that may have been like your second or third
time. I think, it was like my second.
You were pacing and pacing backstage. And
I still do that. I still do that now. It's just like natural. I get like nervous right before, but now when I step on the stage, it all goes away. And then, you know, like everyone's like,
you're a showman, man. You command the stage. And it's so cool having watched you grow and grow and grow. And seeing, I think it was like one of your like final shows that was in LA after you guys had been on tour.
Yeah. So you came to the last one.
Yes.
Right?
You had so many shows under y'all's belt. Mm-hmm. So it was like seeing a whole new band, and the confidence was incredible.
It was at the Roxy, right?
That was from the first tour. Last one
was it in Anaheim after VidCon?
No.
Patricia was there.
I forget the name of the venue, but it was here in like downtown Los Angeles. Somewhere.
Oh, I remember. Yeah. What a fun, like,
it is like a
thing
cool,
to do.
Like, journey. And it's awesome that I've had like all my friends be able to come out and like see the shows. And so they saw when I really sucked, and now they see when I'm like, all right.
Do you miss the tour life?
Yeah, I miss it a lot. I was supposed to go on tour in June and like mid-June, July.
Oh, wow.
And that was canceled, pushed back to October when we weren't sure how long this was going to last.
Yeah.
And now it's looking like maybe middle of next year. Who knows? Like, I'm not going to schedule something until we know what's going to happen with this.
Yeah.
Because also, if you go on tour right after it ends, like, you know when the bars and shit kind of reopen for a little bit?
Yeah.
If I was like, all right, I'm going on tour because everything's reopened, like, you just look like an asshole.
Yeah.
And people are still probably a little bit hesitant to go out, and it's, you got to wait till things kick back into full swing.
Exactly. You don't want to be the first person to step in the waters. There was a country singer who like put on a big show, and nobody there was wearing masks, and it was like, some sort of
was it Vanilla Ice?
I don't think it was Vanilla Ice.
I don't know. I saw some headlines that Vanilla Ice was planning to do a show and everyone was giving him shit because, of course, Vanilla Ice, out of all people, would be having a show in the middle of COVID.
And there's talks about how, like, when touring comes back and, like, shows come back, you'll have to do, like, a 600-person room, but you can only sell 100 tickets or something, so you can have people spaced out. And I saw, like, TJ and Aaron were at a drive-in concert, and, like, even that is, like, how entertaining can that be that you have to sit in a car, like, miles back?
Yeah. And are there, like, microphones on stage that are a radio frequency?
I think where they do you both. Can they hear do radio it. Frequency and big speakers, and they project it on a big screen. I mean, it's, like, a cool experience. But
it's,
like,
yeah, it's a cool experience. But, that's, like, to go to multiple of those and, like, really enjoy a concert, I don't think you could.
Yeah, it just changes the whole experience. Like, you have to go with your group of friends. It's not something you could just, like, go pop in up by yourself on a night. It's, like, got to have the car, got to have the food, got to have the space.
You do that? You go to concerts by yourself?
I go to concerts by myself all the time.
I hear that's, like, therapeutic. It's cool.
Like, I like it because, like, there's also that anxiety that you get when you are...
Oh, I went to...
Alone.
Yeah, or no, but when you're, like, going to a concert with somebody, there's always that, like, pre-show talk, like, oh, yeah, I saw them back this day. Oh, yeah, have you ever seen that? And you just have to, like...
Are you talking about, like, dating-wise?
No. Just, like, with friends, like, when you're in line, when you get before the opening band. Oh, the opening band
is pretty
good.
And you think that's bad?
I just sometimes prefer to just, like, be in the moment and just be alone and not have to worry about, like, entertaining a friend, not have to worry about coming up with, like, you know, small talk banter in between shows and whatever. Just, like, I'm here, maybe I'll meet somebody, grab a beer, and watch a show.
I've seen Frankie Cosmos 2 times by myself, and I liked going by myself. It actually was really cool. And I went to the one in San Antonio by myself because I was out there for a brand deal, and I had nothing to do that night. And I left my hotel and went to the Frankie Cosmos show, and I met these two fans, or they, like, knew of me. They're like, what are you doing here?
Yeah.
Why are you here? And they go, who's with you? And I go, it's just me. They go, really? And I go, yeah, do y'all want to, like, just hang out? And they go, yes, of course. And I just hung out with them and geeked out about Frankie Cosmos. And it was a really cool, it was a cool night, but it's like going to a movie by yourself.
Yes.
Yeah. Indulging in something that you really want to do and not having all the factors of, oh, are my friend's gonna like it?
There's no pretense.
Yeah, not wondering what the opinion of your date or your friend is gonna be. Like, it's just like, if I know I'm gonna enjoy this, I'm gonna enjoy this.
Yes.
Like, I don't have to worry about anyone else's thoughts. That's cool. I get that.
Let's talk making music, making the magic. What's the process? Because I can't make music. But
I can't make music.
I've always wanted to be in the studio and see how it goes down. I want to be in a studio when a hit's being made. Do you write something and it starts off like, guys, I just wrote this down on a pad. Do you come up with the tune first, or does Bruce come up with the tune to accompany what you've written?
Whoever I'm working with, usually I go in and it's like, what are you feeling? Like, what kind of emotion are you feeling? What are you like? Is there something that you're thinking about? Like, sometimes I'll come in with like 3 different ideas of like shit that I would like to write about. Like, if I miss someone, I'll write a song about missing someone. Like, it's on that day. And I have a song that we started writing about, like, missing someone basically. And I went back for a session the next day and I was like, I don't think I can write to this one today. I don't feel like I'm missing anyone, so I don't think I can get the right words out. But it starts with a beat. So I go in, talk about like what mood I want the song to be. We talk about like other songs that we like right now. Is it Dua Lipa's album? Do we want the 4-to-the-floor funk bass shit? And like, we start working on something like that. And then usually you get sort of like in a mood based on what the sound is, and then you can just start writing to it.
I am blown away by producers on having the patience of tinkering around with a sound over and over and over. It's almost like if you've edited a photo, you're like, wait, is this even still look good?
Yeah. And
it makes you go kind of crazy because you've been hearing the same thing on loop.
Yeah.
And you have to kind of step away
and hear it again. Ear fatigue.
And think, what's it called?
It's called ear fatigue.
Ah.
And so you have to kind of like step back and maybe like listen to a classical piece and just like cleanse your ears palate. So that way you can come back with fresh ears. It's what, you know.
Fun fact, you know what ear fatigue is when you go to a concert and how they prevent it?
No.
If you got 2 openers and then the main act, you start the first opener, the guy who's doing the sound keeps their sound a little lower. And when you first get there, it's going to be super fucking loud, right? But it's quieter than the second act. They raise it a little bit.
Ooh.
And then when you get to the third act, they raise it to the max or whatever.
Oh, that's and so it's a, smart.
It's the same as like, all right, if you're listening to music at max volume in your car, it's going to be really fucking loud at first. And then you get used to it and it's not as loud anymore.
Yeah, then there's no more room to crank it up and like really feel it. Yeah. But
and that's how they amp up the performance each time. It's like the first opener, the second opener, and then main show gets louder and louder and louder. Whoa. So you get more and more into it.
Do you have a handful of tracks that you've just thrown in the trash can?
Like, I have.
You're like, I don't even want to finish this.
Yeah, I have a few tracks that I will never release, or tracks that I started working on that I just stopped halfway through because I was like, nah, this is not cool. This is not good.
Well, that's how it is.
Maybe like a B-side album.
Well, but like someone like Ed Sheeran or John Mayer, when they do an album, they'll write 200 complete full songs and then they'll pick the 12 best. Like it's one of those things where like you just create, and then you pick what represents you the best at the time. Mm-hmm. It's just all part of the process.
And I'm trying to be better at that too. Like not rushing through songs and being like, all right, I'm putting this one out now. Cause I do that with vlogs sometimes. Like I'll film a video and I'm like, well, this wasn't the funniest video, but it's a vlog. I'm just going to put it out. But you can't do that with a song. You can't like release something that you're telling people that you're working on and you're putting your heart and soul into. Mm-hmm. If you don't believe that it's good, then it's like, it's not going to do well because people can like feel if you don't feel strongly about mm-hmm. something that you're putting out.
And also vlogs are likely meant to be watched like, you know, once, twice, three, four, five times maybe, but songs are meant to be listened to hundreds, thousands of times for years and decades. So like it makes more sense to put effort into something that's going to last a lot longer and be heard a lot more times. So there's no shame in working your ass off to get a song to where you want it to be.
Yeah.
And Bruce is the producer, but you also work with Andrew Fitzpatrick. So
yeah, I work with quite a few different producers now.
Okay.
But I work with Bruce a lot. I work with a guy named John Lundeen as well, and DeCarlo. There's just so many different producers.
And are they good in their own realms? Because you're like, ooh, he can capture this sound better than this sound. Do you go to them for different moods for different songs?
Yeah, or? I have no, like, there's like hip hop producers, there's pop producers, and the guy John that I work with, he's in like a pop punk band and he plays like four different instruments and like he's really good at doing like those kind of sounds. Like it's everyone has like a different sound that they're influenced by, so they sound different when they're producing.
Have you thought about picking up an instrument?
I've picked up lots of instruments
on tour
and I put them right back down. I've when I was a kid, I tried learning guitar. I learned a few songs on it and then I gave up because it was difficult. And I was like, what I'm doing now, I just pay other people to play it for me.
Yeah, you got the best instrument, the voice. Like that's, you can't.
I remember when I was on my first tour, it was like winter and shit. And my manager was like, you got to put a scarf on. You got to protect your instrument. Like what?
Oh yeah. Your voice is your instrument.
Mm. And it's smart. It's important. And my last tour, I lost my voice for like a week of the tour. I had to go get like prednisone, which is like
the steroid
for healing your vocal cords.
Did it work? Back?
Yeah,
it came back. I like drank Throat Coat before the shows and like I got so much adrenaline that I was able to push the vocals out, but they'd be like, just take it easy because you're going to lose your voice even more. And painful too when you're like really singing your,
but you managed to get through dry. The audience wasn't like
boo.
No.
Stop.
Luckily, the shows are very like performance and energy based. I'm not like an Ariana Grande type singer where I can stand there and blow people away with my voice. It's more about like having a nice energetic performance and like lyrics that connect with the people in the crowd. Like, and a lot of it is very hip hoppy too, where I don't have to sing great.
Yeah, because you can kind of.
Mama won't buy me David Dobrik merch. No, she won't stick a sticky fingers in her purse. And if she don't give me money, I'ma steal from church because I can't let Tiffany get the merch first. I didn't have to sing that. I just had to say it.
I always feel bad when you used to bring us on stage during that part. I didn't know the lyrics.
Yeah.
And I hated dancing on stage, like just lyrics I didn't know.
That is what, like those memories I think are just some of the best moments I think of like being friends with you guys of whenever Scott had a show and like, oh shit, it's the last song. Everyone, we're all just like running from the show backstage. Dude,
it's so much fun. It's so much fun for me and everyone loves to see everybody coming out there supporting me, each other, you know,
it's
like
so much fun
as a group.
Who either, I guess you would love for someone to open for you or who would you want to open for?
I I have a very hard time with like tour stuff because I lost money on both of my tours. I don't like the idea of opening for someone unless it's a huge person, because you don't make money as an opener. It's an exposure thing.
I don't mean it like a tour opener act, but just one night you get to open for...
Like, who would you love to play a show with?
Yeah. Like 21 Pilots or even like Blink 182. Yeah. Like, I would love to do like that, like alt rock, or like someone like that. John Bellion. Like, all those people are really cool.
Oh, John Bellion's so very cool. Good.
And I feel like that would align with like my audience. Like, I think a lot of people that listen to me also listen to that music.
Yeah.
No, I've done like when I do the Wango Tango things and I do like a festival show, like I think, did Madison Beer do that?
Didn't Madison Beer kind of open up for you?
No.
Well, it was a lineup of acts.
It was not an opening. It was like a lineup. And I think she went on after me.
Oh, maybe that's what it was. And, yes, I think that's right.
And like Louis Tomlinson went up as well. Like,
but that's cool.
It is cool. It's not specifically like an opener thing, like I was saying, but like it is just like it's a lineup at a festival. And it's cool to like perform on the same stage as other big artists.
One time I opened up for Natasha Bedingfield at a Six Flags in Atlanta, Georgia.
Really?
Yeah, in college.
What was the drummer. Name of your band?
The band was called Reality Addiction. We drove down to Atlanta. We went down to Atlanta, Georgia. We drove, and it was like the first time we were in a trailer, and like she came over to us and was like, oh, you guys, I think she's British maybe, Natasha Bedingfield. Uh-huh. Oh, you guys the openers? And we're like, oh my God, Natasha.
I got a question about the name.
We're so worried about the future. She goes, hey, the rest is still unwritten. See you guys later.
I got a question. Reality Addiction. Was that like you guys were like straight edge, XXX, like
no drugs?
No numbing reality with any sort of narcotics. You're just addicted to life as it is. Reality Addiction.
I think it was like a statement on the reality TV culture that we had, that like when everyone was watching reality TV shows.
You think
shows,
that?
I didn't come up with the name. I joined the band like 3 years in as a drummer. And I was with them for like a year or two. But opening for a band is cool.
I had a band, but we never performed nor made a song. We just made a MySpace. And we just thought it looked cool, and we took pictures with our guitars.
That's so fucking funny.
Like, I got a guitar, and I was just so excited to create the image that I had a band. So me and my friend...
Like a catfish band, like it doesn't actually exist.
No, yeah, it never existed. And me and my friend Austin, we went in our backyard and took pictures of us with our guitars, and the name of the band was called The Neighborhood Wake Up.
That's a sick name for a band.
For like a kid suburban band, not bad.
I like that.
The Neighborhood Wake Up. So would the meaning behind that be like you're playing drums in your garage and waking up the whole
wake up
neighborhood?
The neighborhood.
Oh, I like that.
I came up with it, so, and I was just so excited, where I was like, I have to make the MySpace.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
We never
funny.
Made a single song, nor we never learned how to play our guitars.
That's so fucking funny.
I bet I can find the photos of me being all serious in my backyard with the guitar.
And you just never come out with a song, and people keep asking like, hey, what are you guys coming out with something? Yeah, we're working real hard in the studio right now. EP coming soon, don't worry.
So besides being an amazing musician, you're also now an entrepreneur.
I've always been an entrepreneur, baby. I made a website in high school. Remember that?
Oh, the roots run deep.
I used to get the little like shit that I didn't want anymore, my old toys, and like try to get my parents to buy them back from me.
You would do what?
I'd like set up like a little garage sale on my desk and be like, you guys can buy this for a quarter.
Like you would sell back the toys that they bought you to try and get more cash.
It was like
pocket.
My equivalent of a lemonade stand, but like I wasn't selling it to strangers. I was trying to sell it back to my parents.
Oh, I sold toys to strangers. Instead of a lemonade stand, I would sit out there with like action figures and stuff. And now looking back on it, older men would pull up and be like, oh, what's this? What's this action figure? And I would negotiate. But looking back, that wasn't very smart. But yeah, I made a couple bucks. But instead of... dealing with CDs, now you're making CBD.
Okay.
Good one.
Good one. Think of some segue into that.
Yeah. So I started a merch company first, and then,
Swipe Up Inc.
And then I started the CBD company with Jay. And Jay's always been super into like the cannabis realm. We have some friends that like are figuring out like what's profitable in other states where it like became legal first and all these things. And CBD is this like the derivative that comes from the cannabis plant, and it's got all these things that are supposedly so good for you: stress, anxiety,
cannabis,
inflammation.
Cannabis.
But there's
it's not 1850, Mac.
The devil's
times.
Lettuce.
No, absolutely not.
There's no.
I know, I'm kidding.
psychological effect. Like, it doesn't affect your brain. It affects, like, I've had it explained to me so many times, and it's so hard to explain, but there's like things that it like detaches like this thing from this thing, so you don't get stressed out about this thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You get all the relaxation and therapeutic benefits without any of the psychoactive reactions.
Exactly. Which is Mike what said it best. I would like you to be the spokesperson for iCBD.
I love CBD.
You didn't bring any over.
I didn't bring any over because we sold out of all of our products.
Well, I was doing some cameos in one of your guest bedrooms, and I saw some boxes filled.
Well, they're sold, Matt. They're not yours. They're going to be shipped out to their lovely customers.
We just got some new products in. We got Todd has a muscle rub, and his brand is called Wavy.
Ooh.
Which is cool. And it's like an icy hot with CBD infused. So the CBD can absorb your body. CBD can absorb into your body in multiple ways. Like, you can use chapstick, sunscreen, roll-on, oil. I have the Don't Be Sad oil, and you just drop that into your tea. And when I quit drinking for a month, like I think last year, I replaced alcohol with tea, and I just put CBD in it, and it would like relax me and help me sleep.
Can I start a line?
You can. We'd love to. That's the idea of the company, is that it's like an influencer-run CBD company, and we all use the, like, we create the products that we actually use ourselves.
I love CBD. I my friend turned me on to it like 2 years ago, and you just get a little drop, put it on your tongue, put it wherever in your tea, and it just really makes it feel.
I lost mine. I don't know where it is.
Well, we got to get some.
Get some. Don't be sad.
iCBD. Don't be sad. Yeah.
Where can people get it?
They can get it at iCBDoils.co.
Okay.
iCBD oils.
Have you taken it today?
Yes, I have.
That's why this conversation has been so great.
Because I'm relaxed.
Yeah.
Isn't it an interesting dynamic, kind of, I think, between me and Matt? Because people don't see us hanging out too
often. I was going to say the same thing. I kind of had that even in my notes, like, about our relationship. And I wish we were closer, but we have always kind of been like...
We've always been like friends, but you've always been closer to the Zane side of things.
Yes.
And then I'd see you when... Like, we'd like be around each other all the time, but we'd always be like, it's almost like a subdivision of friend group.
Yeah. It's like you work in the same building, but in different departments.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
And you'll see each other in the cafeteria at the holiday parties, but you're not working on the same projects day to day.
But I don't think it's intentional. I think it's purely just proximity of being around people just more often. It's not because, like, I was living with Zane, or also one point I was living really close next to Zane, like a block away, so we would see each other more often. And then I would moved in with Todd and then Jason, and I started hanging out with Todd more.
Yeah, it just is a matter of like time and place. I feel like we're around each other a lot when we're around each other, and then sometimes we're just not.
And it's always fun times. There's no we're all great friends.
I fucking hate Matt. That's why I never see
you. Well, yeah, no, this is, we're done, you know, after this.
I have to go.
Well, we loved having you, Scott. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having me. It was a hoot and a half.
Hey! Boom, boom, boom. And if you guys haven't already, go listen to Don't Be Sad by Scotty Sire and go watch the music video that I'm in.
You are in it.
Also, I'm in a lot of the other music videos. I'm in Notice Me. I'm in Kickback. You know, I was watching Palm Springs on Hulu, and they shot some of the scenes.
Oh, I think you told me this.
At the bar.
From the Notice Me video.
From the Notice Me video.
Yeah.
Oh, good times. Anything else that you want to plug, Scott?
I just want to plug myself. Everyone, please follow me on Instagram. I've been losing followers every day.
All right. Well, thank you so much for having... wait.
Thank you. You're so the host, not the guest.
I know. Thank you so much for being here, Scott. I love you. I'm so proud of you and cannot wait to see what's to come in the future.
I love you too. And you too, Mike. Thanks for having me.
And come back for the video,
Scott. We get to see your beautiful face and your lovely tattoos and that rockin' bod.
I'll take my shirt off when we do the video.
All right. Adios, everybody.
Take care. Have a great week.
Bye.
Bye.